Thank you, Brother Jack. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see all of you here in this nice weather. About January, we're going to miss those hot days. Well, we're in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, and we're going to finish that chapter up today, the Lord willing. Turn there, chapter 5, verse 22, and we'll finish out that whole chapter there this morning. Do you remember when in politics they used to say, as Maine goes, so goes the nation? Y'all remember that? And from 1840 up into whenever they stopped saying that, whoever was, whatever party won the governor's race in Maine also won the next presidential election. And that's where that came from, where, you know, Maine goes, so goes the nation. Now, one time it didn't work, and that was when Harry Truman was running against Thomas Dewey. And it looked like that Dewey had won. Chicago Tribune put out a paper. If you've ever been to the Truman Library in Independence, Missouri, you've seen that picture of him grinning and holding that paper up that says, Dewey wins. And it wasn't Dewey, it was Truman that did that. Well, I want to suggest another slogan. Where the family goes, so goes the nation. And that is an important thing. Can you all see who that is? Billy Graham. Wall Street Journal had a full-page ad with Billy Graham on it. And he says, the legacy we leave behind for our children, grandchildren, in this great nation is crucial. As I approach my 94th birthday, I realize this election could be my last. I believe it is vitally important that we cast our ballots for candidates who base their decisions on biblical principles and support the nation of Israel. I urge you to vote for those who protect the sanctity of life and support the biblical definition of marriage between a man and a woman. Vote for biblical values this November 6th and pray with me that America will remain one nation under God. And that one, God bless him. Wall Street Journal, full-page ad. That's the closest he's ever come to endorsing anybody in all of the years of his ministry. Richard Land endorsed Romney a long time ago, and everybody thought he was crazy. But it turns out that he knew what he was doing. You know, every major law enforcement officer who's skilled in sociology will tell you that the breakdown of the American home is responsible for the breakdown of law and order in our nation. When I was growing up and when you were growing up, we didn't have to lock our doors. You didn't have air conditioning back then, and so in the summertime, we had screens on the windows. We'd latch the screen door to keep the dog from nosing it open and getting in. But we would not lock the door. And when that began to change a little bit, we were getting ready to go down to see my grandmother in Alabama, and Daddy said, you know, I guess we ought to lock the door. We couldn't find the key. So we just closed it, you know, left it closed there. There is that vigorous attempt to redefine a family as any group of people living together. And marriage is any two people, regardless of their sex. Gay couples are now adopting children. Lesbian couples are having children by in vitro fertilization. And if ever America needed, Lynn, that old Christian hymn, we need it today. God give us Christian homes. Homes where the Bible is loved and taught. Homes where the Master's will is sought. Homes crowned with beauty. Thy love has wrought. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes. All right, look at those verses in the last part of Ephesians 5 here with me. You know, we are Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we're members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. Now, for this reason, a man shall leave father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Then when we get into chapter 6, there is a word for the rest of the family, for the children and for the grandchildren. I want to say two or three things about this pericope or this paragraph in here. In a Christian home, there is a dimension of oneness. Verse 31 is really a quotation from the book of Genesis. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And this is much, as you're going down through that passage that we just read, it's much more than physical consummation of a marriage. It's a mysterious oneness that God gives to a Christian couple. It's more than slave-like submission of a wife to her husband. Oh, the feminazis went crazy over that. And when the Baptist Faith and Message, which is our confessional statement as Southern Baptists, was revised in the year 2000 to include a section on the family that just quoted that scripture that wives are to submit themselves to the husbands, there were bunches of Baptist churches, some of them right here in Dallas, that said, well, we don't believe that. We're going to stick to the 1963 edition. We're not going to adopt the 2000 edition. One of the things that the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention did was to be an SBTC church. The pastor and the church have to vote to support the 2000 Baptist Faith and Message Statement with all of that about the family that's in there. There is a natural, mysterious, mutual love and loyalty built into a marriage by God. Don remembers Fred Swank. And Fred Swank did not have he was very plain spoken. He didn't have the reputation of being a good counselor. But a woman in the church whose husband, she'd been married to her husband for about 40 years, came to him for counseling one day and said, I think my husband is having an affair. And he said, well, what would lead you to believe that? You know, he's in church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. He goes out on visitation, old buddies. She said, well, I've been watching as the world turns. And he's acting just like one of those guys that's having an affair. Now, I'm not suggesting that this is a good counseling technique. But Fred said, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home and take a good look at him. And then you'll realize nobody else would have him but you. And that couple's still together, by the way. You know, in a Christian home, there is a deeper and stronger relationship between husband and wife as opposed to a non-Christian home. And the reason for that is, if the couple's not Christians, they have that kind of relationship, one-to-one. But if you put Christ into the equation, that's what it looks like. And a triangle is a much stronger, I mean, that's what we use to hold our roofs up. It's a much stronger architectural thing than just a board across there. When Paul says that a man, and this is in verse 33, let each one of you in particular so love. You remember any other verse in the Bible that has so loved in it? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I read about, Britishers are interesting people. And I read a Britisher who was telling about a man that came to him and said, I think I love my wife too much. And he said, do you love her as much as Christ loves you? Well, no, I don't guess I could say that. Said, you still have a ways to go then. there is this oneness and a love and loyalty and mystery in a Christian home. And it's tied into the same oneness and loyalty unity and mystery that you find in the relationship between Christ and the church. I mean, that's what Paul talks about. This is a great mysterion. Dr. Crystal's one of his favorite words, mysterion. Y'all remember that? Mystery. My son Kurt had knee surgery Friday, but I remembered that when he was 5 years old and here in the church, he had a dream, and in the dream there was a ambulance backed up to the church door, and they were bringing Dr. Criswell out, and Libby Reynolds was bringing him out, and he was in a straitjacket and was saying, "Mysterion, Mysterion, Mysterion." Mystery. This is a great mystery. Solomon said there are three things too wonderful to me, no four. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. There is something about that is just particularly when it is a Christian home. The second thing I want to say about it, the relationship between husband and wife in a Christian home is to reflect the relationship between Christ and the church. That's what he says in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Surrender and submission in love is a part of our Christian heritage. I mean, we surrender ourselves to Christ when we receive him as Lord and Savior. We sang about that this morning. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We've already done that. We have confessed that Jesus Christ is our Lord. And the whole point of Christian living is to constantly submit and resubmit ourselves to Christ. The wife is to submit her husband as she watches him submit himself to Christ. And you show me a church where men are not sensitive and submissive to the will of God in the church, and I'll show you some homes where the wives are not sensitive and submissive to the will of their husbands in there. That there is a self-sacrificing love is a part of Christian heritage, a past love, as Christ loved the church. A present love that he might sanctify and cleanse it. A future love that he might present it someday to himself, a glorious, glorious church. And when a husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church, his wife will not have trouble submitting herself to him as the head of marriage. Say it another way. If a husband follows Christ, the wife is likely to follow the husband. Unfortunately, that doesn't always work out that way. John Wesley, who was a little bit of a man, he's barely 5 feet tall, might have been a little under 5 feet tall, married a 6-foot tall, 300-pound woman. And she would come into the back of the church and interrupt his preaching and saying, "Don't listen to him, he's not even a man." When they'd get into a discussion, she'd pick him up and throw him up against the wall. And when she left him, he wrote in his diary, his journal, "I did not ask her to leave. I shall not ask her to return." And let me say this. Christ should be revealed in our homes.